John 10:17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this Easter day. We thank you for the opportunity to remember the resurrection. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand it and see the significance of it. Pray that you would take away pride, take away unbelief. Help us to be teachable under your word. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen our faith, or even give us faith for the first time. And may you get all the glory, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine with me, it is the year 1942. It's a Saturday morning. We are together having French crepes at your house, enjoying a good meal, and we're debating, what should we put on these crepes? Should we put Nutella, or should we put maple syrup? I assume Nutella was around 1942. But after our nice meal, a sadness comes over our hearts, because it's 1942, and we have friends in France, and they are currently under the Nazi occupation. Our hearts go out to our friends and the difficult time that they are going through right now. Our friends need a rescue. They cannot save themselves. And if you know your World War II history, you know that that rescue did come through the Allied invasion. There was the D-Day, the landing at the beach of Normandy, and then eventually there was V-Day. This is the day when the Allies officially won, May 8th, 1945, and had victory over the Nazis. Victory came from the outside. Guys, the human race, the Bible teaches us our condition, is in a desperate plight. Because of sin, we are estranged from God. We do the things that Satan wants. There is darkness and evil outside of us and inside of us, and we are in desperate need of rescue. And the good news of the gospel is that rescue came. Victory came from outside through Jesus Christ, through his death and his resurrection. And that's the message of this Easter morning. Victory and deliverance have come from a God who loves us through the resurrection of Christ. Victory and deliverance have come to us from a God who loves us. And we see that especially at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the text we read just a few minutes ago, John 10:17, is our starting point today as we think about the resurrection. And in John 10:17, Jesus gives this prediction. He says, for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Now, in that text, we see a prediction of two things happening. Jesus laying down his life, and Jesus taking it up again. We're especially going to think about this second half, taking it up again. But notice the laying down my life. Jesus is speaking of his death on the cross. Now, we consider that in depth on Friday, the good news of Good Friday. God the Son, Jesus Christ, going to the cross, dying for sinners, in love for his people. Jesus laid down his life. He died. But on the third day, he rose again. And in John 10:17, Jesus says, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Jesus did not intend to die and remain dead. But the plan all along was the resurrection. And Jesus makes this plain over and over again. He tells his disciples, the Son of Man will die, but on the third day he will rise again. And here we have an explicit prophecy of this happening. Jesus speaks of his resurrection. He says that I may take it up again. Now, this is kind of remarkable because God the Son is speaking of raising himself. So Christ, as God the Son, raises himself from the dead. Now, the Bible also speaks of God the Father raising the Son. We see this in Romans 6:4. And God the Holy Spirit raising the Son. Romans 8:11. So the Bible speaks in three ways of the resurrection of Jesus. The Father raising the Son raising the Son, the Holy Spirit raising the Son. And that goes along with the biblical understanding of who God is. He's a Trinity, three persons, one God. And in all the works of God, the Trinity is at work. And this is the resurrection event. But in particular, Jesus is speaking of raising himself up. He's alive. He's not dead. But today, as we think about this on this Easter morning, we ask, well, what did Jesus accomplish through his resurrection? Jesus said that he would lay down his life and take it up again. But what actually happened? How does that help his people? What we see, I think, in Scripture is this. The resurrection brought about a victory. A victory of God for his people over Satan, sin, and death. The resurrection brings about this victory of God for his people over Satan, sin, and death. It's a victory that began at the cross, and we see the completion at the resurrection. And this is good news for us, friends. So today we're going to consider the victory accomplished in the resurrection. Just as our friends over in Nazi-occupied France in 1942 needed a victory that they did receive through the Allied invasion, God's people needed a victory from their sin and Satan and death. And that's the victory given to us through Jesus, his death and particularly his resurrection. So today we're going to consider this victory, the V-Day that happened for us at the resurrection. It was, in particular, we think about it in three ways. It was an accomplished victory, it was a sufficient victory, and it was a shared victory. So think about it in three ways. Through the resurrection, we have an accomplished victory, a sufficient victory, and a shared victory. First, we have an accomplished victory. Jesus said, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Now, they say when men get over the age of 40, they take an interest in meat, smoking or grilling meat, or in World War II documentaries. So I actually like both. So bear with me for the World War II illustration here. When the Allies retook France, Nazi-occupied Europe, they drove out the Nazis one bit at a time. But it took time. It took effort. It cost lives. It cost money. But in the end, the victory was real. And it accomplished a real freedom for the French people and all the peoples who were under Nazi occupation. It was a victory that wasn't just like a story made up, but it was a real victory that happened in history. It was an accomplished victory that happened. And the same thing is with the victory of Jesus Christ over Satan, sin, and death. It was a real victory. It was accomplished by Christ. Not by us, but through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Now, when you read through the Gospels, we see that the climax of the narrative is the death and the resurrection of Jesus. All the Gospels teach us about that. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Jesus died, but on the third day, he rose again. Jesus said, I take up my life again, and it really happened. The resurrection is a historical event. It's not a myth. It's not a story that someone made up, but it is a victory that was accomplished in history. It actually happened in real history. We know from the book of Corinthians that over 500 people saw Jesus alive, resurrected Jesus. It really happened. Now, when Jesus rose again, he accomplished a victory for us. And the rest of Scripture speaks about how this took place. He was a victory over Satan, over sin, and death. His victory was one of over Satan. See, the Bible teaches us that Satan is real. The devil is real. It's not some cartoon or some fairy tale that somebody made up to try to scare little children. But Satan is real. He's a fallen angel, and he hates God's people, and he hates God. When Christ came, he gave us a victory over Satan. He was tempted in all the ways that we were, but he never gave in to sin. He perfectly lived a life for us, and he went to the cross, and he died, though he didn't deserve it, but he rose again, and he has a victory over Satan. 1 John 3:8 teaches us this. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Now, when the French were under Nazi occupation, there were many works that were oppressive. You know, the Nazis had all kinds of bombardments on the beach to stop the Allies from even getting in. Part of the Ally invasion was destroying some of these works. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. He overcame Satan. He broke the power of Satan, his accusatory power over God's people. That's one way the Bible speaks about the victory of Jesus, is a victory over Satan. Another way is a victory over sin. See, our great problem, guys, is not a lack of money. It's not a lack of influence. It's not having the wrong career. Our greatest problem is sin. We have sinned against a holy God. We are estranged from God. We need to have our sins dealt with. One day there will be a judgment where we give an account of our lives before God. And we all have a big sin problem, and none of us can pay for our sin. We need someone to pay for it outside of us. And that's the good news of the gospel. Jesus paid for our sin. He paid for it on the cross. And he rose again, showing a victory over sin. Paul the Apostle speaks about it in this way in Romans chapter 4. And notice how he connects it to the resurrection of Jesus. Romans chapter 4, 23 to 25. And speaking about the gospel, Paul says, "But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered for our trespasses and raised for our justification." Justification is God declaring us righteous before him. Now, Jesus was raised for our justification. It's the evidence that God now counts us justified. Though we have great sin, if we have believed in Jesus, his righteousness is accredited to us. And now God sees us as bearing the righteousness of Jesus. I love the beautiful phrase that Martin Luther says. He calls it the great exchange. Jesus takes all of our sin and he gives us his righteousness. And it's completely unearned. It's a gift. The resurrection, we see a victory over Satan and sin, but it not only that, it's a victory over death itself. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and a world without sin, and a world without death, without disease, God was teaching Adam and Eve to trust in him. And he said that you can eat from all the trees of the garden, but there's one tree that you cannot eat. There's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, God was teaching Adam and Eve to trust in him. But God said, the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Now, as we know the story of Genesis, Adam and Eve did eat of the tree. And they didn't die immediately, physically, that day, did they? They died later on. But when they did eat of the tree, a spiritual death entered into the world, into them, and there's a chaos and death in our world. Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty for our sin. We deserve death. But Jesus gives us a victory over death. Listen to this wonderful verse, 2 Timothy 1:10. And listen or follow along. But I love how Paul portrays what happened in the gospel. In 2 Timothy 1:10, it says this, "Our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death, and brought life, immortality, and light through the gospel." Jesus abolished death. He defeated it. He gives a victory over death. And he brings life, immortality, and light to the gospel. Guys, you can have more money than Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, but you cannot pay enough money to defeat death. You will still die. You can get so good at AI and all the advanced technologies, but you will never find a way to not die. The only way to not die, to live forever, is through the victory of Jesus Christ. He died and he rose again and he lives. He still is alive. Jesus shows a real victory over death. One day, you will be on a deathbed yourself. Or maybe you'll die quickly and you won't even have time to linger. The fact is that we all need someone who's going to give us victory over death. And the only one who can do that is Jesus, who died and rose again. This is the only one who can give us that victory over death. So what does the fact of Jesus' resurrection teach us? Well, it's an accomplished victory. Jesus won a victory for his people over Satan, sin, and death. This is amazing. This is what we're singing all these songs. See what a morning, gloriously bright. This is what we just sang. It is amazing. That's why it's good to get together on Sunday mornings and sing these things together, because we forget. Our hearts get cold. But it was an accomplished victory. Secondly, this victory was a sufficient victory. It's a sufficient victory. Jesus said, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Now, when the Allied forces came in and they invaded, occupied Europe, it was a long march to victory. But guess what? They got the job done. They defeated Hitler and the Nazis. It was a sufficient victory. If we had a friend over in France, maybe they're still cowering in fear. When are those Nazi soldiers going to knock on the door again? When are they going to come and take away my things? We could say, after V-Day, it's over. You don't have to be afraid anymore. They got the job done. Victory is yours. You are no longer under Nazi occupation. It was a sufficient job. And when Jesus Christ died and rose again, it was sufficient. Sufficient to win us victory over Satan, sin, and death. As Christians, we don't have to wonder, did Jesus really win? Was it enough to beat Satan, sin, and death? Say, yeah, it was enough. We don't have to wonder. It was a sufficient victory over Satan, sin, and death. And that gives us a hope and a joy. Jesus said, I'm going to take up my life again. When Jesus rose again, he didn't kind of rise. He didn't half rise. They didn't have to put him in an ambulance and take him to ER and finish resuscitating him. He was alive. Stones moved out of the tomb. Alive and to never die again. It was a sufficient victory over Satan, sin, and death. It's great news. Listen to how the writer of Hebrews talks about what Jesus did. In Hebrews chapter 10. Now, if you read through Hebrews, you will see a phrase that comes up, or an idea that comes up multiple times. And the idea in Hebrews is the once and for all. Once and for all. The writer of Hebrews wants us to see that what Jesus accomplished was a once and for all, or once and for all time victory. Hebrews 10, 14. The writer of Hebrews speaks about what Jesus accomplished this way. By a single offering, he perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. It's a once and for all death and resurrection. So we disagree with our Roman Catholic friends, who in their mass, it's a reenacting of the death of Jesus Christ. It's a continuation of it. The mass is part of the sacrifice. We as Protestants say, no, it's a once and for all victory. Jesus died once, once and for all, and he rose again. Now on Sundays we don't come to continue the sacrifice, but we come to celebrate the once and for all sacrifice. Because Jesus' death and resurrection is a sufficient sacrifice and a sufficient victory. Now, I think that there's a lot of payoff for this when we think about it as Christians, because we see sin in the world, we see evil, we see it in our own hearts, and it's tempting to feel discouraged or to lose heart. But the answer is to look again to the finished work of Christ and remember, it's a sufficient victory. He did everything that we need to be right with God and to be delivered from Satan, sin, and death. Now, the Bible speaks of it in an already not yet kind of way. We already have victory, but we still struggle in the flesh. We still face temptation. But we have a hope that one day he's coming back. Our victory is still real, and the resurrection of Christ is a sufficient victory for us. So remember that today as we think about the resurrection. It was an accomplished victory and a sufficient victory. But it's not only those two things. It's also a shared victory. It's a shared victory. Jesus said, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Imagine the D-Day and V-Day. The Allied troops came in to Nazi-occupied Europe. And they defeated Hitler. And they said, well, you could only partake in the victory if you give a certain amount of money. Or if you do these certain kind of things. You know, you could easily lose hope if you didn't have all the right things. But actually, when they won that victory over Hitler and over the Nazis, it was a victory that's shared by all people who aren't on Hitler's side, obviously. It's a shared victory that we don't have to pay for. It's one that's been won for us by another. And using that kind of analogy, this is the victory that Christ has. It's a shared victory. The Bible speaks about that Jesus won the victory for us. Now he invites us to share in the victory over Satan, sin, and death. Jesus rose again, and he invites us to share in the victory. Here's just the Bible speaks about it in many, many ways. But let me just give three ways of the shared victory that we have. First, the shared victory we have is that Christians are raised spiritually with Christ. It's a shared victory that brings a spiritual kind of resurrection. Colossians 3:1 speaks about this. In Colossians 3:1, Paul says this, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. You've been raised with Christ. Now, these Colossian Christians haven't physically died, but they have been spiritually raised, resurrected. They've been resurrected. And the Apostle Paul speaks about this in Romans chapter 6 as well. He speaks about this union that we now have with Jesus. We've been united with his death, but also united with his resurrection. See, Christ rose physically, but when you become a Christian, you are raised spiritually. So even right now, if you're a Christian, you've experienced a kind of a resurrection already. Not a physical resurrection. That day is still coming. You will still physically die, even if you're a Christian. But if you are a believer, you've been raised spiritually. And the theological term for that is regeneration. Regeneration refers to being spiritually dead and made spiritually alive. Do you remember what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3? He said that you must be born again. It's not enough just to be raised in a Christian home. You have to be spiritually reborn to actually be a Christian. But what we see here is that Jesus, he rose again, and he shares the resurrection with his people. We've been spiritually raised with Christ. If you've come to Christ, if you're a Christian, you have already shared in this victory of the resurrection. Been spiritually raised with him. Here's another way that we have a shared victory. When Christ came to earth, he brought in the new creation. Now this fall, we're going to start going through the book of Genesis together. Does anybody know, any kid know Genesis 1:1? Genesis 1:1, what does it say? Good job. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the first creation. Now, this first creation has been corrupted by sin and death. But you know, the Bible speaks of a second creation, the new creation. And that's what Jesus brings to earth. He brings in the new creation. Paul speaks about it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. You can look there or you can just listen. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new is here. If you are a Christian, did you know that you're a new creation? You've been made new. God has made you a new creation in Christ. This is what Jesus brought into the world. And right now there's this overlapping of these two creations. There's the first creation, which is corrupted with sin and death. And there's the new creation. And it's this, the age right now is the age, is these two things are overlapping. But one day Jesus will come by, will come again. And the old creation will be done away with. And the new creation will endure. And there will be heavens and hell and the new earth. But right now, it's the overlap. But if you are a Christian, you are a new creation right now. Isn't that amazing? God has made you new. The language the Bible speaks of, he's given you a new heart. He's taken away your old stony heart, which didn't want God. And he's given you a new heart that loves Jesus and wants to do what God wants. We get to share in the victory of the new creation. Another way that we share it is we're justified from sin. Now, I read this verse a few minutes ago, Romans 4:23-25. So just think about, again, what Paul says there. Jesus was delivered for our trespasses, and he was raised for our justification. Guys, this is part of the victory that we have. We have a victory that Christ won for us. Now, Jesus didn't have any sin, but he paid for the sins of his people, and he rose again. And all who believe in Christ are justified. We are declared righteous before a holy God. Guys, this is the teaching of Scripture, is that we cannot get right with God through our own works and our own effort, but only through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because of our sin, we are estranged from God, but Christ paid the price. And if we believe in Jesus, we receive this forgiveness as a free gift through Christ. If you believe in Christ, you are justified. Guys, this is really good news. The end time verdict before God has been brought into history. If you believed in Christ, you are justified. Christ has given us, this is a victory over sin. The resurrection announces the victory over Satan, sin, and death. It is an accomplished victory, it is a sufficient victory, and it is a shared victory. But who is this victory shared with? Who is the victory shared with? Well, it is shared with all of God's people, all who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10 illustrates this well. Paul says this in Romans 10, 9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. All who believe on Jesus will be saved. That's the good news of the gospel. We can't earn our way to heaven, but Jesus has accomplished the victory for us. And if you believe in Christ, you share in that wonderful victory. You don't have to fear condemnation. You don't have to fear future wrath. You can rest in the finished work of Christ, the victory that he has won for you and me. A victory that is proven through the resurrection. That's really good news, friends. Can I encourage you to think about that today, this week? The victory of Jesus. Think of how comforting that would have been to us in the 1940s to have our friends over in France. Finally, V-Day has arrived. V-Day, victory. It would give us peace and hope for our friends over in France and around the world. That victory, Christ has won a victory for us, all of God's people. It means you can go this week and you can sin, and you will sin this week. All of us do. But we remember Christ won the victory for us. And as we remember that victory, it actually changes how we live. Why should I live in sin now? Jesus has won the victory for me. Why would I want to give into that? He paid his life for me. Why would I go that way? That motivates us to live a holy life, motivates us to follow Jesus. Now, guys, one final passage as we near the end of our time here, and it's in 1 Corinthians 15. I think it's a fitting way to, as we think about the victory of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is all about the resurrected bodies. You know, the Corinthian Christians were wondering, how am I going to get a resurrected body? What's it going to look like? Am I going to look like a 20-year-old? Am I going to look like a 50-year-old? What's it going to look like? And Paul teaches the Corinthians all about the resurrection. And he says that Jesus is the first fruits. You know, in our garden, we finally have some little flowers coming up. I don't know if you do as well in your at your home. And there's more that will come. Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. He rose again. And one day, all of us are going to die, but we're going to rise again as well in physical bodies. Our own bodies remade. And that's going to happen. When Jesus comes back, there is going to be a resurrection from the dead, and there will be no more death, no more sickness, no more pain for God's people. If you are reconciled to God, if you're a Christian, that will be gone forever. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 53 to 57. And notice the language of victory, the language of hope. Guys, one day this is going to happen. This is going to happen for us. 1 Corinthians 15, 53. For this perishable body was put on the imperishable. Does anybody else feel your perishable body? The pain, back, neck, other pains. Our bodies are getting older. They're breaking down. But one day this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on the immortality. When this perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, God has given us the victory over Satan, sin, and death. And the resurrection is the clear announcement of that victory. Let's pray together and rejoice in the victory of God. Lord, thank you for this resurrection day. We thank you for the victory of Christ over Satan, sin, and death. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to that amazing victory that we have. I pray that you would fill us with a fresh sense of hope and wonder and joy. And I pray, Lord, for any of our friends who are here today who are not Christians yet, I pray that they would see their perilous situation. But I pray that they would also see the hope that is offered to them in Christ, a victory won for them, that they can have if they place their faith in Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the victory that we have, that you've shared with us over Satan, sin, and death. Lord, open our eyes again to this. Fill us with hope and joy in you. In Jesus' name, amen.